Shalom aleichem, everyone. Well, just a couple of quick ideas. Parshas Pinchas, I think, is particularly relevant to the experience we're about to experience here in camp. You might have heard some of these ideas before for me, but it's worth reiterating, and at the very least, it's worth it for myself to remind myself of these ideas. I think they're very, very relevant for definitely throughout life, but especially what we're trying to achieve in camp. So we'll start with just a couple of very, very simple questions, and I think the answers are not too complex, but are very, very deep, not complex, but deep and important, especially as we enter this tikufa. Simple question starts off, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe l'amor, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Just there's something funny about the way the word Pinchas is written. So some have chumash in front of them. Does anybody know offhand?
That says the grandfather along with the father.
Okay, maybe. But I'm saying the word Pinchas. You're already two names ahead of me.
There's a small yud.
A little bit of yud, right? Now, look, you see, I see it over there. Very small yud in the name Pinchas. So why is that the case? Why is there a small yud? Okay, simple question. It's part of a Masorah that the yud should be small. Why is it there? Pinchas does something incredible at the end of last week's parsha. Interestingly, he steps up in a big way and ends a terrible chil Hashem. He's mekadesh shemayim, takes on Zimri and Cosby, a Midiani princess, and kills them, shish kebabs them, and he is awarded a special gift. He is pronounced a Kohen over here, and we see in Perek Chafei Pasuk Yud Beis Lachein and more. Hinni Nosein Lo Es Bris Shalom. I have given a bris of shalom, peace, greeting. Vayishalo Zaro Achar of Bris Kunas Olam. So he's going to be a Kohen forever. That's very cool. Only Aaron HaKohen was granted that he is a Kohen and all his descendants are Kohanim. That's the only other person. And then we have Pinchas over here, who is granted this same thing. So he is called a Kohen, but this point over here about a Brisi Shalom, I'm giving my covenant of peace. What does that mean? A covenant of peace. Any suggestions what that might mean? A covenant of peace. If you already know my pshat, then don't. Yeah.
Maybe that one kiddum of a Kohen is to bring peace.
Okay, right. So definitely, Shalom is a hallmark of the Kahuna. How do we know? Give me a raya. What is Shalom? What is? Tell me Shalom. What does Shalom have to do with Kahuna? Where do we see any shaykhus of Shalom to Kahuna? Okay, so Aaron Kohen, Heaven Mitavid Shal Aaron, Oy Shalom Rodev Shalom. Aaron is a doer of peace, a pursuer of peace. Right? So the final word, the closing word of the Kohanim is Shalom. Of course, Birchas Kohanim is followed by what Bracha and Shmona Esrei? Shalom, right? Okay, so clearly there's a big Indian of Shalom. Not the word Shalom itself, but the theme of Shalom. What's the bracha that in Birchas Kohanim? How does that go? No, but you mean the bracha that they say before, that they bless Klal Yisrael be ahava, with love, right? So clearly this is something that's very Kohanic in nature. So perhaps that's the pshat over here. As Brisi Shalom is a reference to the Kahuna, could very well be. There are other pshatim as well, and we'll maybe explore a couple. We'll say one now. It's Gurari says based on Rashi that it's like a greeting of like a friend, right? That Hashem is very, very appreciative when the chil Hashem is taking place. So you have to think the Shekhinah Kaviyachol is in this tremendous pain and suffering, and you know when someone is experiencing embarrassment, people are hurting them, taking advantage of them, and people just stand by and watch, so that makes it so much more painful. And who's the one who's going to get up and stop somebody from antagonizing somebody else? So a friend. So when Pinchas gets up, he's a kanoi, he's a zealot, and he gets up, and he ends the schil Hashem, so he's a good friend. And so Hashem says, oh, shalom! Shalom, chaver sheli. My dear friend, thank you. So that's one, another pshat in shalom. It could be that maybe it's peace that you might think, oh no, now he's going to be There's a Goel Adam after him. Maybe there are people from the tribe of Shimon that are going to come get him, and maybe Hashem is guaranteeing him, don't worry, you'll have peace, that'll be fine. So that's another possibility. It could be that there's a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that says that it has to do, it's actually a messianic blessing that, you know, eventually, right, Mashiach is going to come and Pinchas and the Kohanim are going to be involved, and they're going to bring about this messianic shalom thanks to what he did. So that's a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that's what the Midrash says. But that's just something to keep in mind, this strange bris shalom that he gets. But I want to go back to the lesson of Pinchas. So sometimes when we have a letter that's small, like in the word Pinchas at the beginning of the Parsha, so the Yud is small, sometimes that indicates that the word could be read without the Yud, without it. So perhaps it could be read Pinchas or Pinchas, right? The Yud is there, but it's not there. So I can maybe read it in a couple of different ways. So what might that mean? So it's interesting, the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin says that what Pinchas did over here was very important. It says, Vayichas Pinchas, that Pinchas developed a Yichus. What does a Yichus mean?
Lineage,
right? What lineage did he adopt over here? The Kahuna, right? Because technically he's a grandson of Aaron HaKohen, but as Chazal tell us, the Kahuna kind of passed over him because it was only given to Aaron and his sons and not the grandsons that were already born, like Pinchas. So Pinchas was, yes, a descendant of Aaron HaKohen, but he was not attached to the Kohanic Yichus of the Kahuna. So therefore, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Beis, says that Vayichas Pinchas, that Pinchas became connected over there. So with that said, perhaps we can understand this Yud in the following role. That Pinchas had an opportunity, but a challenge in front of him. What should I do? What should I do? It's not easy to get up and kill somebody, right? Not at all. Right?
For some people
it's easier. Right? For some people doing the killing, and some people receiving the killing. But even so, the concept of killing another human being, you can come up a little closer. We opened up the piece of paper. Yeah. To do that, to kill another human being is not the easiest thing to do, especially if you've never done it before. Right? Everyone, think back to the first time you ever, that's not, right? But it's not an easy thing to do. Now imagine it's a fellow Jew. Imagine having to do that, to kill a fellow Jew. Imagine having to kill a fellow Jew who's very, very chashuv. He's a leader. So that's a very, very hard thing for so many different reasons. Yeah?
There's people that have tried to do that to certain people in the last few years. Trying
to kill him. Right. But for someone like Pinchas, who's a tzaddik, It's not a simple thing to do, right? Meaning, a normal, healthy-minded person shouldn't feel comfortable killing another human being, especially not a fellow Jew, and especially not a very chashuv, learned Jew. Right. Exactly. So, what Pinchas could have done over here is says, maybe I should have a little bit pity. Maybe I should back off. Maybe I shouldn't be so involved in this. Maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe this is not the right thing. Or maybe this is the right thing to do, and this is what Hashem wants, and there's a big chil Hashem going on. Even though I don't feel comfortable, I'm going to do it because I'm a kanoi, I'm a zealot on behalf of God, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do to end this chil Hashem right now and end the megefa right now. And by doing that, he would connect himself to this great yichus, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, vayichas Pinchas. So perhaps that's alluded to in the small yud. The small yud could be read if it's small, so maybe you could read it without it. So it could be pen chas. Lest maybe he will have pity and not do it, or pen yichus. Maybe he will actually achieve connect that yichus vayichas Pinchas. So the small yud alludes to that challenge that he had in front of him. He had a decision: yes or no. It doesn't feel comfortable for me right now, but I need to do this. And maybe he was going to have mercy. This yud. Maybe he was going to have pity, and he wasn't going to do it. Or maybe he was actually going to indeed connect himself. And the Yud is written there. It's small, but it's written there. Because he did connect himself. Vayichas Pinchas. He chose to, even though maybe there was some level of uncomfortability, and it was a very hard thing to do, but he got up and attached himself to this important decision, and was able to achieve Yichus, connecting to the Kahuna. Vayichas Pinchas. And this, of course, teaches us the importance of sometimes stepping out of our comfort zone and really stepping into a big position. And even though, that one decision can make a very, very big difference. It could be his entire name alludes to this ultimate challenge, which would be the one that decides, is Pinchas going to have part of this lineage, Vayichas Pinchas? Or maybe he's going to... Pinchas, lest he'll have pity, and not actually connect himself to that. So that's a very important point. Of course, sometimes that pity is the wrong thing, right? Sometimes having mercy is the wrong thing, and it's not helpful. We'll see sometimes when we're working with the campers or the staff members, and sometimes you want to do everything for them, but that's actually not beneficial, right? If a parent constantly does everything for their child, so the child becomes spoiled, never able to develop. And a lot of our campers, so they actually might not want you to hold the door for them. Some of them maybe do. Like you have to try to use your seichel in each situation. But there are a lot of campers who are actually able to do so much on their own. And you might say, oh, it's hard for him, it's hard for her. Let me help out. But actually, that's a misplaced pity. We see, right? So there are several different layers of lessons. Of one of them of making sure to maximize every opportunity you have in front of you, but also not misplacing the pity, because sometimes misplacing the pity is the exact opposite of what Hashem wants from you at that time. But I want to just take this a little bit further about going outside your comfort zone and doing something crazy, like killing another person, another fellow Jew who's actually a very chasha person. Of course, he deserved it. Pinchas did the right thing. But what is this bris shalom? And so we gave a few pshatim earlier again, right? It's shalom. Hashem is saying, shalom, my dear friend. Thank you so much for what you've done for me. It's incredible. Thank you that you stood up for my honor. Could be it's shalom in that it's, the kahuna, the bris shalom, right? The same lecha shalom. That maybe that's what the shalom is. Maybe the shalom is Hashem is going to protect him from the goel adam, from all of Zimri's relatives or Zimri's tribesmen who might come. But there's actually, I want to suggest another pshat in what this bris shalom is. Perhaps this bris shalom is that he was given the opportunity to regain, to claim back his midah of shalom, of ahava. Because when we do something that's not shalomdik, when we hold back from having the mercy, right? We said sometimes mercy is the wrong thing. Pity is the wrong thing. Chus is the wrong thing sometimes. Sometimes we need to be strong in order to help. Sometimes there's something called tough love. Sometimes we have to go to war. But if you let that take over you, that completely changes you as a person. Right? Sometimes you have to yell at somebody because that's what they need at the right at that particular time, and you did the right thing. But the more you yell, the more angry of a person you become, the more violent of a person you become. Sometimes, right, nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we don't strike our children or anything like that. But there's a real concern discussed in the Gemara when there was such a thing. You don't want to overdo it, and you don't want to become a person who's a striker, who's a hitter. You don't want that. And when somebody is in a war, and somebody kills, so they lose that midah of shalom. So how is Aaron supposed to become a Kohen? How is Aaron supposed to be an Ish Shalom? How is he supposed to get there if he just killed somebody in a gruesome, violent way, as the Midrash describes? It's very, very graphic, the Midrash. How is he supposed to get his shlemus back? He did the right thing, but that doesn't mean it doesn't impact you negatively. Hashem gave him a special gift. Brisi Shalom. You have the bris of peace. Hashem says, I will resensitize you. You were desensitized to the value of human life, to love, to peace, to kindness. You were desensitized, and you did the right thing, but you were desensitized nevertheless. I'm giving you a gift called Brisi Shalom. What that means for us, though, is we don't always get Brisi Shalom. Sometimes we do something that desensitizes us from the right thing, but it's the right decision. Sometimes we're doing something that normally wouldn't be right, but in this context it's correct, but it impacts us negatively. And we're not always given the gift that Hashem automatically, in a snap of the fingers that he doesn't have, resensitize us. And you need to be aware of that and mindful of that. And especially here, you know, for counselors and for everybody, when you're caring for others, when you're caring for others in the context of like, just for an example, davening. This is something I experienced my second summer as a counselor. I noticed it. I was with my campers, and constantly I had to be talking during Kaddish, during Chazar Sashatz, because I had to tell my camper, stop stealing the talis. Right. Stop stealing the talis from him. Dizano, close, get away from the Aron. No, stop running. Come back in the room. And I was constantly finding myself talking. And I had taken upon myself the previous year. I'm not going to talk during Chazar Sashatz anymore. I'm not going to talk during Kaddish anymore. Not that I ever did. But I worked on that. And then I'm talking during that time. And that's okay. But you know what? Then I found myself talking to my co-counselor, making a joke during Kaddish. And I made the joke, and I laughed, and then I caught, and I'm like, why am I talking during Kaddish? And I realized I became desensitized. Something I call GTS, I call it Gabbai talking syndrome. That sometimes, it's something that can impact the Gabbai, Baruch Hashem, not the Gabbayim in Camp Pass, but sometimes it happens with Gabbayim, that because they're so used to talking during davening, right, Shlishi, most of, they're used to that, that they end up, they're Yorei Shemayim, but they end up losing the sensitivity and start talking during other parts of davening too. And that's a problem. That's not okay. A Gabbai is not allowed to make a joke during Kedusha, during Chazaras Lashatz. He's not allowed to. You can ask someone to daven Musaf, maybe, okay. But he's not allowed to do those other things. And the way we fight this, because we're not given the Brisi Shalom, Hashem doesn't automatically resensitize us just because we did the wrong thing at the right time. The wrong thing, that means the good wrong thing in the right time, but Hashem doesn't automatically resensitize us. So while we're here in camp, and we're going to be doing a lot of things that might be outside of our comfort zone, and a lot of things that are outside of our typical standard of Yiddishkeit because we need to for the campers. And when it comes to listening to music during the 3 weeks because of the campers, and it comes to talking during certain parts of davening because of the campers. So there's certain things that we're going to do that are not in our comfort zone, and you should do them, and it's the right thing to do them, because that's what you need to do for the campers. But when it's not for the campers, we have to be mindful. When it's not for the campers, we might fall into the trap because we might be desensitized when we do it for the right thing. So we just have to be very, very careful, mindful on top of ourselves, do introspection, and make sure that when it's not the right time, that we're not doing the wrong thing, that we're careful about ourselves. And Mr. Hashem, with our hishtadlus in this effort of thinking about it, being careful about it, Hashem should also grant us the Brit Shalom.